You know, when Deacon Bob was reading the gospel about the fishermen throwing their nets and pulling up a large haul and then separating the good from the bad, this isn't in my text, but we were talking to our kids about a week ago on Zoom. We'd like to do that weekly. And we got to talking about fishing, and I said how my dad owned a boat, and we would quite often go out fishing together. And in the Great South Bay of Long Island, we would occasionally pull in a really ugly fish with spines all over it. You couldn't grab it because it would hurt you. It was called a sea robin. And so I sent him a picture, and their comments were, "Ooh, that's nasty." And because you couldn't grab it, Lord forgives me for this one, I had a little baseball bat. And so I would hold it on the line and take a swing and swack it so that it would go off into the water to live again. A little stunned, but to live again. Sometimes the lips were left behind, but you know, I can't help that. My wife's looking at me like, why are you telling this story? When you hear the gospel, our minds are taken to different places. And that's just as the Lord has designed it. You see, last week we talked about separating the wheat and the weeds. And at the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus is talking about the good fish being kept and the bad fish being thrown away. I can't help it. And so it is with each one of us. The gospel speaks to us in different ways. Jesus said this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but I've been on a cold day where the teeth are chattering. I don't want gnashing of teeth, and I don't want to be weeping, because crying is not my favorite thing to do. That's why we stay close to Jesus and ask for his grace and his mercy. In today's Holy Gospel, from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 33, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the seed." I think it was 2 years ago, I passed out little tiny mustard seeds for each one of you to have. And you still have it? I don't think so. It's easy to lose. It's the smallest of the seeds. Jesus had this to say: "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch on its branches." These same words are also recorded in Mark 4, 31 and 32, and also in Matthew 17, 20. And Jesus replied to a question: "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this to a mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And what makes that happen? Faith. Absolute faith. So why did Jesus pick out a mustard seed as an illustration? We have so many instant things in foods and electronics. Everybody has a cell phone. I think if I asked you to raise your hand, everybody would say that you have a cell phone, and sometimes more than one. In first century Israel, they did not have communication, but they had a garden. And an important part of that garden was the mustard seed, because it was well known it was a cure for some common diseases, was potent anti-venom, and was a powerful spice, and held a great deal of potential, including growing into a tree, as Jesus said, as a shelter for birds. From very simple beginnings, we see followers of Jesus, the church, just like that mustard seed, grow and expand and spread all over the world. God used the original 12 apostles to start global evangelism, getting the word out. And he can use us too if we are willing to help spread his seed. Last week I preached about the parable of the wheat and the weeds, where the fields are laced with weeds in among precious wheat. And Jesus made it clear that the weeds, the non-believers, will one day be pulled up along with the wheat but then they'll be separated and cast into eternal fire. As I said last week, watch out for the weeds. They're all around us, in our town, in our county, in our country, and in our world. And we need to be able to recognize the difference. I reminded you last week about how some progressive thinkers want to say either that God would never judge or condemn anyone, or that he will postpone the harvest until every single weed has somehow been turned magically into wheat. Let me say this. God doesn't do magic. God performs miracles, as each one of us can attest to in our lives. He's not a magician. If there is somebody preaching a quote-unquote social gospel that's tailored to catch up with the trends of culture, then they're preaching a false gospel. It's not what Jesus taught. The truth is that Holy Scripture, God's holy word, should dictate into society and the culture, and not the other way around. Not the culture transforming the word into something that Jesus didn't say. This problem has been around since the early church. Jesus warned us, and it was further reiterated by the Apostle Paul, who was truly clear about following any other gospel than the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach another gospel than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." That's Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. Don't those words truly fit today? There's only one gospel, and Jesus' words are true. The world around us is a mixture of wheat and weeds, and as Jesus commanded us in last week's gospel, let he who has ears hear. I want to suggest to you that we also need to have eyes to see and be aware of spiritual warfare that exists all around us so that we can pray for peace and protection, as well as wisdom and knowledge to combat it and to rebuke it. Jesus is giving us an example of faith as small as a mustard seed can and does move mountains, which are the works of the evil one. The tiny little mustard seed grows into a tree, a safe haven for birds. And as I mentioned earlier, the seed has so many important uses. So many think of themselves as being too small or insignificant to be able to make a difference. I've mentioned before, too many people look in the mirror and are not happy with what they see. And just last week, I reminded you that we are all made in God's image and likeness, and we're to reflect who he is. At first, it might seem that we have no effect on anything or anyone, but if we persistently continue to sow the smallest of seeds and repeat the process faithfully, we will soon begin to see the effects of our small beginnings being repeated and the results increasingly become larger. Like my sermon of just a few weeks ago about the four soils, we pray that God will show us to recognize and minister to the good soil, caring and nurturing the seeds of faith that we have planted and asking the Holy Spirit to make it grow. And Jesus points to the uniqueness of faith and what a treasure it is in God's kingdom. He speaks about yeast, often used to illustrate sin in Scripture, but here he speaks about the blessing that yeast is. This is the ingredient that makes dough rise into bread. It's amazing what dough becomes. It's much lighter and much larger. Faith is like that too. when we treat it as a precious treasure to share with others, we can see the effects grow. I've mentioned many times before, somebody had to introduce Billy Graham to Jesus, and look what happened. I call it a ripple effect, because, you know, it's the old, you tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and so on and so on. I know it's a hair care commercial, but it does fit here. We can watch the kingdom grow when we have the faith enough to share it with somebody. It becomes larger. Its yield will be much larger than we ever possibly imagined. Every believer in Jesus is its own mustard seed. All we need to do is sow and then pray for the harvest. The risen Jesus, just days before he ascended to the Father, was on a mountain in the Galilee, and he gave us his command for all believers to act upon. Sowing the seed of faith is recorded in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. You know it as the Great Commission. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here's the part where we come in. Teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. We're not doing this alone, because as Jesus said right after that, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. We're not in this alone. And as I said last week and the week before, it's about him, it's not about us. None of us can save a soul, but we can introduce them to the truth, like sowing a seed. You can remind them of the truth that they may have fallen away from, that they loved when they were younger. You can show them what it means to be a Christian. Remember, you're not doing this alone. He is with us always, to the very end of the age.